Today is going to be a little bit different today than normal, so forgive me for this. You'll notice that I don't have an outline in your bulletin, and that's intentional. If you actually want notes from today's message, talk to me afterwards. But this is the first Sunday in 2018. And as such, I thought it might be appropriate for us to take a little break from our series in Ephesians and do what I'm going to call the State of the Church Address. All right? And the reason I'm doing this, the deacons were talking about this, there are many of you that, for whatever reason, you know, are unable to come to our business meetings and stuff like that where we talk about a lot of these things. So there's some of you who are new here, some of you who may be guests, you know, just started coming. So you don't know much about Grace. You don't know what's happened at Grace. You don't know what's happening at Grace. And we wanted to share some things with you about what God is doing at Grace Baptist Church. And we're going to give the State of the Church Address, and we're going to give some visions that I, as your pastor, have for the coming year. It's going to be an exciting year, and I know that God is doing some great things, and that hymn, How Great Thou Art, just got us kicked off in a great way as we think about what God is doing. We're going to begin this today in Joshua chapter 10. Some of you have your Bibles. If you don't, in the chairs underneath, there's a few black Bibles scattered. So grab one of those and turn to Joshua chapter 10, because we're going to be reading a fairly lengthy passage. It's not incredible, but it's a great story about something that God did that's just crazy to even think about, all right? It's one of those things, it's just a crazy story in Joshua chapter 10, and I believe it fits so well where we as Grace are today. Joshua chapter 10, beginning in verse 1. Now, I'm going to preface this, I'll probably butcher some of these names, so forgive me, don't laugh too loud. All right, as soon as Adonai Zedek, king of Jerusalem, heard how Joshua captured Ai and devoted it to destruction, doing to Ai and its king as he had done to Jericho and its king, and how the inhabitants of Gibeon had made peace with Israel and were among them, he feared greatly because Gibeon was a great city, like one of the royal cities, and because it was greater than Ai and all its men were warriors. So Adonai Zedek, king of Jerusalem, sent Ahoham, king of Hebron, to Piram, king of Jarmuth, to Japhiah, king of Lachish, and to Debir, king of Eglon, saying, come up to me and help me, and let us strike Gibeon, for he has made peace with Joshua and with the people of Israel. Then the five kings of the Amorites, the king of Jerusalem, the king of Hebron, the king of Jarmuth, the king of Lachish, and the king of Eglon, gathered their forces and went up with all their armies and encamped against Gibeon and made war against it. I'm going to break right there. You see what's happening? Joshua and the Israelites are invading this land. God's given them the promised land. They're invading. And they have this city that saw what Joshua was doing and said, look, we're going to surrender. We're just going to kind of surrender now because of what you guys are doing. Well, the other cities saw that and they said, you know what? We don't like this turncoat among us, so to speak. We're going to go up against him. Now, verse 6. The men of Gibeon sent to Joshua at the camp in Gilgal, saying, do not relax your hand from your servants. Come up to us quickly and save us and help us, for all the kings of the Amorites who dwell in the hill country are gathered against us. So Joshua went up from Gilgal, he and all the people of war with him and all the mighty men of valor. And the Lord said to Joshua, do not fear them, for I have given them into your hands. Not a man of them shall stand before you. So Joshua came upon them suddenly, having marched up all night from Gilgal. And the Lord threw them into a panic before Israel, who struck them with a great blow at Gibeon and chased them by the way of ascent to Beth-horon and struck them as far as Azekah and Makkedah. And as they fled before Israel while they were going down to the ascent of Beth-horon, the Lord threw down large stones from heaven on them as far as Azekah, and they died. There were more who died because of the hailstones than the sons of Israel killed with a sword. Can you imagine that? You're having a battle. This is hand-to-hand combat, right? And as your enemies are running away, giant hailstones are coming from heaven, crushing them. What would you feel at that moment? Man, this is pretty awesome, right? God's doing a great thing. And I sit there and I think, wow, that'd be a wonderful thing to see God do that crazy, miraculous thing. But here's where I love this. Joshua wasn't quite content with that. Verse 12. At that time, Joshua spoke to the Lord in the day when the Lord gave the Amorites over the sons of Israel. And he said in the sight of Israel, sun, stand still at Gibeon, and moon in the valley of Ajalon. And the sun stood still, and the moon stopped until the nation took vengeance on their enemies. Is this not written in the book of Jashar? The sun stopped in the midst of heaven and did not hurry to set for about a whole day. There has been no day like it before or since when the Lord heeded the voice of a man, for the Lord fought for Israel. So Joshua returned, all Israel with him, to the camp of Gilgal. What an incredible story. As we read this in Joshua chapter 10, and we think about what the nation of Israel is going through, and they're fighting this battle, And they're in the middle of this. And God has done a wonderful thing just in the morning time on that day, right? And Joshua's there, and he sees this, and he's like, wait a minute. We need more time. Have you ever thought about what kind of dreamer Joshua must have been? Can you imagine being the leaders there? When they're sitting there, and he's the general of the army, and he says, man, God's doing a great thing. We're winning this. And Joshua's like, yeah, but what if time stopped? Now, what do you do when your leader looks at you and says, what if time stopped? Food poisoning? Is the guy sick? I mean, what are you wondering here at this point? He dreamed big. What if time stopped? I'd have a hard time following a leader like that. And then to see that leader look at the sun and say, sun, stand still. Now what are you thinking? Where's the straitjacket, right? You ever had a leader where you wondered, what in the world is this guy thinking? That was Joshua. Joshua dreamed big. What if time stopped? And then he had faith. He said, sun, stand still. And what happened? The sun stood still, and the Israelites gained a great victory in that one day. God had done something. This is interesting. God had already done some big things. The hailstones from heaven killing the enemies, that's a huge thing, right? God had already done some big things. But Joshua, he saw that, and he wasn't willing to rest in what God had done. He's like, you know what? We can do more. If only that sun would stand still, we can do a lot more. And he had faith, and he said, all right, let's do this. He kept right on dreaming. And in the year 2018, I hope we as a church, we look back on what God has done. Look back on the hailstones that God has sent down. I pray that we can dream, okay, God, what if? What if? And as we think about the state of the church, I want to begin thinking about the what if. What dreams do I have? Well, as your pastor, many will tell you that I'm a dreamer. My wife will tell you that I love to dream. My dreams are not as big as Joshua's. I'll admit that right now. I'm not dreaming for the sun to stand still, but I've got some dreams. I do. I've got some dreams 2018. I dream that every single week in one ministry at Grace Baptist that the gospel is going to be presented because that's what we're about. Whether it's in Sunday school, in Awana, in a summer program, in the Sunday morning service, I dream that every week we would focus on the gospel at Grace Baptist and that that would be presented in a clear way. Every week, that's a dream. Every single week. I dream that we have 12 families, not 12 people. Last year we dreamed for 12 people to join our church. I'm dreaming for 12 families to join our church this year. 12 families. That's my dream. I'm dreaming we hit 150 people in worship service. Can you imagine 150 people? You think, man, dude, what's wrong with you? Where's the straitjacket? Yeah, sun stands still, right? I'm dreaming. 150 people. I'm dreaming 100 people in Sunday school. 25% growth is what I'm dreaming. Think, dude, that guy's nuts. Yeah, but we serve a big God, don't we? Do we serve a big God? These are my dreams. These are my dreams. I'm dreaming for the new building addition, not only built, but paid for. And you think, dude, you are crazy. We don't even know what we're doing yet. Yeah, I know. I know. And yeah, I am crazy, okay? These are dreams. Can God do it? Absolutely, God can do it. Can we dream together and pray together that God can do this? What would that be like if December 31, we have a New Year's party in our new addition, in our new building, whatever it looks like? Wouldn't that be fantastic? That'd be awesome. We'd have a great time. Snake handling? No, that's a joke, all right? We'd have a wonderful time together. Could God do it? Absolutely. God could do it. These are the dreams I have. These dreams. I'm not a Joshua, but I love to dream. And I look at what Joshua did, and Joshua saw what God had done, and it was fantastic. And Joshua's like, okay, wait a minute. We're going to go even bigger. Sun, stand still. And I confess that these aren't Joshua dreams, but these are big. These are big to me, and I hope they're big to you. And will you dream with me? So let's think about grace. I'd rather dream big and have God say, not yet, than dream small and have God say, why didn't you? You ever think about that? I'd rather dream big, and at the end of the year, okay, we didn't quite make it, than dream too small and not push for what maybe God could have done through us. That's where I'm at. That's my mindset. So where are we at? That's a good question. Well, let's think about this. From January 1, 2015... to September 30, 2015, we averaged 41 people in worship. All right? January 1st of 2015, September 30, 2015, those 9 months, we averaged 41 people in worship. This last year, I had this data up here, and I was going to change it, but I forgot to. Last year, the whole of last year, we averaged 97. That's the whole 12 months of last year, we averaged 97 people. Is that hailstones falling from heaven? I can't explain that. That's God. Do you see these things? Do you see what he's doing? A And December 17, we hit a new record of 75 in Sunday school. 75 in Sunday school. We almost doubled our church attendance just in Sunday school over 2 years. Hailstones falling from heaven. Do you see what God is doing? Look at this picture. Can you see that? June 3, 2015. You can't see that very well, but this is a great picture. There's 57 of us in church. June 3, 2015. Check this one out. Again, you can't see it. 122 people. All right? In less than 2 years, we had that. In fact, just a year and a half, we went from 53 to 122 people in the worship service. Do you see the hailstones coming from heaven? Do you see what God is doing? This is where we're at right now. So we've got this. What do we had? Well, last year in 2017, we had seven people place their faith in Christ. 2015, that we know of through the direct ministries of our church. Seven people. Through what God has done at our church. We had 18 baptisms in 2015. There was 14 in the last year. 14 baptisms of Grace Baptist last year. When is the last time that ever happened? Never happened at Grace Baptist is what that is. Hailstones falling from heaven. Look at this one. 29 new members in 2 years, 20 of them last year. Do you see the hailstones falling from heaven? Do you see what God is doing? People, this is what we dream about, and we dream big because God did something big last year that some of us don't even know about. We're thinking, wow, these are new numbers, Pastor. Never seen that before, and I want you to see what God is doing. I don't get the credit for this. God gets the credit for this because of what he is doing. This is absolutely incredible. We've had a restructuring of committees that began in 2015, restructuring committees that made this church much more efficient. It was hard, but much more efficient. These things have happened. We've had additional volunteers sign up. We've had a lot of facility improvements. For those of you who haven't been here, you don't understand what all we've done. We've added new windows to the front, those two new windows. You have no idea how dark and dreary it was in here without those windows, right? Janet Edwards told me she used a vacuum with a flashlight in the lobby. It was so dark. Okay, new windows, new lighting in there. We added new chairs. We took the pews out, added chairs because we had seating for 118 people. Last year we had Awana Sunday with 146 people here on a Sunday morning. What do you do with 146 people and seating for 118? Doesn't work, does it? Look at what we've done. This is what God has allowed us to do. We've got new classrooms. Two brand new classrooms downstairs have been built. Because we maxed out. We had a classroom that we split in half. We had a classroom that we took the wall out because it was too small for the kids. We're trying to cram 10 kids into a 10 by 10 room. We had to gut it and start all over again. This is what God is doing. New classrooms. We got a brand new kitchen at the back. We have a new overflow room. This last week, Rob Yeager mounted the television in the senior citizen classroom. This coming week, we're going to set up a network so that we can stream live from here into that overflow room. So the people who come in, if they've got to go step out for whatever reason, if they're coughing or need a drink or whatever it is, or they come in late and there's nowhere to sit, they can sit in that overflow room. They're seating for at least 20 people in there. These are some of the things that we're doing that God's allowing us to do. These little hailstones and some big hailstones coming from heaven. That's what we're doing. So how did we get here? Well, there's two things. God's grace, right? Can we get an amen to that? God's grace. It is. It's all about grace. God, for whatever reason, is choosing to bless this church. And then look at the other thing, and it's your excitement. Because you guys are telling people. You guys are going out. You're telling people. And God is doing a wonderful thing. We look at the families he's brought in. Families from Colorado. Families from Texas. Families from Kentucky. We think, well, how did they find out about us? I told you before, I said, I'm not going door to door in Kentucky. Now, I will go to Hawaii and go door to door all week long. If you'll let me do that at my professional expense, I will plan a ticket and I'll go tomorrow, okay? Because it's warm there. My wife likes warmth. I like warmth, all right? And know how important that is to me? This is the last week of late rifle deer season, so for me to go door-to-door during this time is really important. Are you getting it? Come on, all right. Killing me. All right, here's where we are. We got God's grace and your excitement. That's how we got here. God is using this family for a fantastic thing, and God is doing something wonderful, the grace. Right now, he's doing something wonderful. Do not forget what God has done, but God isn't done yet. He isn't done. What are we praying for? So where are we going? What is it exactly we're trying to accomplish here? Well, our vision is 10% of St. Paul, 240 people in 5 years. That was a vision the church leadership set last June. 240 people in 5 years. You sit and think, wow, those guys are crazy. I don't know. I think we could do it. I think God could do it through us. I was talking to my brother-in-law this last weekend, and I've talked about this little town called Sheraton, Iowa. There's a town about 4,500. But there are two churches in Sheraton, Iowa. Two churches, one Baptist church, and then there's one non-denominational. Between those two churches, there are over 700 people attending those two churches. Just in a town not that much bigger than we are. And frankly, we're growing at a faster rate than that town is. And we sit there and we look at it and said, okay, you know what? God can do that same thing here. Are we willing to dream? We're dreaming. 10% of St. Paul. 10% in 5 years. My personal dream is 10% of Howard County in 10. 10% of Howard County in 10 years. 600 people in 10 years. Sun, stand still. Right? I may be nuts. God may not do it, but boy, I'm dreaming. Because I believe God can. Would I be content if he stops right now? Absolutely, because I love you guys. I do. I hated missing last Sunday. I told Brian, I said, I love sleeping in just as much as the next guy does, right? I love sleeping in. Trust me, I did. But I missed seeing you guys because of the family. That's what we have here, and I love what God is doing. So where are we going? Well, 10% in 5 years. But what is it that drives us? What motivates us to do this? Well, our purpose is to create mature followers of Jesus Christ. That's in our constitution. We at Grace, we're here to create mature followers of Jesus Christ. Our mission is to introduce people to Christ, train them to live in Christ, send them to serve Christ. That's what we want. We want people here to become believers. Once they become believers, we want them to become active believers, doing some things, serving Christ, and then going out, not just here at the church, but going out and serving their neighborhoods. Wherever they go, if people from here move on, we've got a family moving on from here. The Nielsens are leaving. But we pray that they do something big down where they're moving to. That's what we want. We want Grace, the ministry of Grace, to spread. Not just stay here. We want it to spread. That's our purpose, and that's our mission. All right, so what roadblocks do we have facing us? Well, there's a few. Space. Can we fit 240 people in here? Yes, if you're standing, and you take turns breathing in and out, right? Okay, we can do it, but it's not very likely, is it? So obviously we have some space issues, okay? Time. 3 years from completing our current building project. The current one we like that, we're 3 years away. And think about this for a minute. I said we averaged 97. September was the first month we broke 100 on our average. We were right at 100 for the month of September average. In October, we averaged 107. In November, we averaged 112. So do you see 10% growth in a quarter? That's what we had. We had 10% growth in a quarter. Let's say that God continues that. So the next quarter, 10% more. 10% more, 10% no more, 10% more. Okay, by the end of the year, we'll be averaging over 150 people. All of a sudden, you begin to realize, wait a minute, we've only got seating for 130 in here. We have some space and time issues because it's taking us longer to do projects than it is for God to bring people, which is great, right? But you see the conflicts that we're having? These are some roadblocks we're facing. Volunteers. As the ministries grow, we need more volunteers. We need staffing. Not just volunteers, we need staffing. Okay, my lovely bride's doing a great job as secretary, but we understand we're getting to the point where we're going to need somebody else to be here at church, to actually have an office here at church. But we only have one office here at church. So what do? Do I take turns using a computer and then they can have the computer for a few minutes? What do? We're working through this, okay? These are roadblocks. We need some more people. We don't have anywhere to put the people. So the space issue becomes a bigger issue than what we even think about. These are things we need you guys to be aware of. We want you to understand what God is doing. We want you to understand the roadblocks, and we want you to pray through them. We want you to, okay, son, stand still. When you sit and look at it, they can be really big things, but God can take care of it. Son, stand still. Financial resources. Our giving has been as good as it's ever been. But obviously, as we begin a building project, we're going to need more finances. Son, stand still. That's what we're praying for. These are some of the roadblocks. God, remove these roadblocks from us. What do we need to do? Well, I want you to pray about your involvement. If you've been coming here to Grace and you like what Grace is doing, pray about your involvement. God, what can I do? What exactly can I do? And you may think, you know what? I'm not qualified to do anything. I don't feel like I'm that smart. Well, I've got a little confession. The search committee knows this, but I don't know how many of you guys know this. I do not have a high school diploma. I have a GED, which I guess is a high school diploma. At best, I have a ninth grade education. I don't know how many of you guys knew that. Some of you did. I was homeschooled. Parents kind of were, they both ran their own companies, and I was a better employee than I was a student. I have a GED. Now, through God's grace, I graduated from college. Working on my master's degree right now. Working on it. But I am no more brilliant than any of you. And if I can do something, trust me, you can do something as well. It's not a matter of being qualified or not feeling brilliant enough. God can use you. If he can use this guy from South Central Iowa, this poor kid over there, who wondered at the age of 16, what in the world am I going to do? And at 17, struggled with great, severe depression. Didn't know what I was going to do. If God can use me, he can sure use you. He's got something. So pray, God, what can I do? Because God can use you. He has something for you. Pray about your giving, of course. God, what can I do with my giving? The Financial Peace University is going on. There's many of you guys going to that, and that is fantastic. As we work on our finances, as we work on these things together, God, what would you have me do? Is there more that I could do here? We want you to be patient. Because change, well, change is coming, and change is hard. We had some friends here this last weekend from Omaha. Mark and Bev Shippey came. We watched their kids for the week of Christmas. Mark and Beth Shippey were good friends of ours in Omaha, and we was talking about that transition from our ministry in Omaha to our ministry here. And I will be the first to tell you, my wife will be right there with me, that it was not easy. How many of y'all like change? Right? How many of you like change forced upon you? Yeah, okay, right? We don't do that, do we? We don't naturally like change. And so as things change, we're going to ask, man, we're going to ask you to be patient because it's hard. I understand the hurt that comes with change. I understand the anger that comes with change. And I had anger. Now I look back and God did some amazing things. But in the middle of this, some of us may feel hurt. That hurt may transition to anger as we see things change that we don't like. But I'm asking you to be patient. I'm asking you to wait and see what exactly is God doing with this. Where is God going to take it? It's not easy, and I'm not saying it is, but can we together, can we be patient? Here's an obvious one. Sit closer. You see that picture we had of the 122 people in here? The best thing about that picture, the whole thing didn't show up. We had two empty seats in the front row, one on this side, one on that side. How many people at Baptist churches sit in the front row naturally? Okay, this isn't normal, all right? We're asking you guys, sit close. We're going to have to. Pretend to like one another. I know it's tough, but we can do this, okay? Sit closer, wear deodorant, that helps. All right, so that's an aside. Okay, these type of things. Sit closer to one another. These are little obvious things, all right? Here's another one. For those with children, of course, be sensitive to others. And I say that, we've had a few comments. You know, we love each other, right? We're family. Family gets noisy. When we were 50 people and 10% of the congregation got up in the middle of the service, how many people is that? 10% of 50 is 5, okay? What's 10% of 100? That's 10. All of a sudden, distractions have what? Doubled. You understand? And if you're over 100 and 10%, if you're at 120 and 10%, you're at 12 people getting up and walking around in the middle of service. What does that do? That's a distraction. Now, we're not doing anything that school programs, that concerts don't do. It's, you know, we even go to movies. We sit in movies for 2 hours, okay? They say, what do you do? Well, sit as much as you can. Use the restroom before you go to the movie theater. This is what we, these are basics that we as parents do, right? These are basics that I do because getting older, let's face it, right? So these things happen. So be sensitive to others. Come prepared to sit for an hour. It's just an hour unless Pastor gets going, and then it's an hour and a half. Don't throw stones, all right? But be sensitive, okay? So as much as possible, get everybody ready to go. If there's somebody who's a little bit noisy, fine, absolutely. Take them out. We get it. We understand. We all had kids. We get that, but it's just a matter of trying to be sensitive to others around us, okay? So we limit the movement, try not to use the kitchen or restrooms during the service, because again, these are distractions, especially if we have guests come in and they're sitting in the back like where Steve's sitting right now. If you're sitting in the back, you see everything. And if you see 12 people get up and wandering around, you see 12 people getting up and wandering around. You don't see what's going on up front. And so it's a distraction. Does this make sense? I don't want to be rude. At the same time, I want to pull out something that these are things we as a family can work on for the sake of those around us, all right? Does that make sense? I hope so. Silent cell phones, again, common thing. I have done this, and I don't want to admit it, all right? This has happened before. In a very serious service, you're there, and then your phone rings. That's been me. I was at a conference once where the speaker's cell phone rang. That was hilarious, okay? But these are things that happen, okay? So again, just be sensitive. Silent cell phones. For those who are able, try to use the basement restrooms. Now, there are some of you here who may not understand we have restrooms in the basement. Because I admit, we have two restrooms upstairs. Okay? Two stalls upstairs. That's not very good for 120 people, is it? We understand there's going to be a line. I get it. But for those who are able, downstairs, right underneath those, there's two more restrooms. So be aware of that. Use those when at all possible. Children don't like going to the dark, scary place by themselves. So maybe as adults, we have to go with them, unfortunately, okay? But don't get mad at your kid. Just, okay, I'll go with you, all right? That type of thing. So be sure, if at all possible, spread the load out upstairs and go downstairs a little bit, all right? Just help one another. These are little basics. Now, what stories do we have? Well, I'm going to embarrass him, but this is a good story. A couple weeks ago, Siebert Peterson was talking to me. He went to buy a car for his granddaughter. This was actually a couple months ago. In November, he's looking for a car for his granddaughter. He went to the car dealership, and there were some Hispanics that were there, and they were broken English, and his Spanish was worse than their English, okay? But Siebert said, he said, you know what, Pastor? Well, I didn't necessarily know how to communicate well. He said, I tried, and I don't know what God did. He shared the gospel with those guys at the dealership. That's worth praising. That's what God is doing here. To have Siebert Peterson share the gospel with a car dealer. Isn't that fantastic? That's exactly what we as a church should be doing. We should be so excited about what God is doing, these hailstones that God is sending, that we're working on this. That this is what we're doing. We're willing to share. And you guys have heard the organ story, right? Anna Mary bought this organ with her husband. She played it for 20 years at her home church. They sold it. She bought it. She's been playing it for almost 20 years here. This is her organ. And she told me, she said, Pastor, if we got to get rid of it to shrink the stage so that more people could come, I'm willing to get rid of it. What a sacrifice. We have an organ donor here at our church. That's a great pun, right? Y'all are awesome. These are the stories that God is doing. And then last Sunday, four kids saved at Awana. Last Sunday, the first Wednesday night of the year. Praise God for that. Four children whose eternity has been changed because of the ministry of Grace Baptist. Isn't this exciting? These are huge things that God is doing, these stories that we have. So I've got a question for each of you here. You know who we are. After this, you should know who we are. Our central focus is what? It's the gospel. That's our central focus. And I pray that we keep the main thing the main thing. This is our central focus. Christ died for our sins and rose from the dead. That's our story. That's our message. Christ died for our sins and rose from the dead. That's our central focus. And our vision is 10% of St. Paul by the year end 2022. By year end 2022, 10% of St. Paul. Okay, so you know who we are. Question for you then is, will you join us? Are you on board with us? Do you like what God is doing? You say, man, you know what? I want to be the Gibeon who comes on board. I wasn't part of that original 40 who were here, the original 41 people. We kind of laugh. When our family came, we almost doubled the children's ministry at Grace Baptist. Right? There was a core group of 40 people here. And look what they have done. Look at that. Are you willing to join us? Are you willing to be part of this group? Are you willing to be that Gibeon and say, man, God's doing some great things, and we're coming on. We surrender, God. We are coming on to your side. You're going to join us. So I want you to consider this. Consider becoming a member. You say, well, why become a member? Well, as a member, you get to have a voice in the direction of the things that we do. You get to have a vote in the building project. You get to have a vote as we spend on what we spend our money on. You have a voice in all of those things. And you get to be part of what God is doing in a huge way. So you know what? I was a member at Grace Baptist, and I became a member in 2017, 2018, when God took that church and just exploded it. Will you join us? Something to think about. Will you join us? Consider becoming a volunteer. We need help. Again, we will train you. It's easy to do. If I can figure it out, you can figure it out. Yes, there's going to be situations, God, I don't know what to do here. God places all of us in situations like that to grow us. You're not going to know all the answers unless you use the answer, I don't know, which is obviously an okay answer to use sometimes. But consider becoming a volunteer. We need help. We do. We absolutely need help in a lot of ways. We need help just taking care of the grounds. So if that's more your thing, hey, I know how to mow a yard. We need help with that. We need help shoveling snow. We need help with all these things. We've got some great volunteers working right now, but we can spread it out. We don't want to burn anybody out. If you want to help working with kids, you want to help working with adults, if you want to do a shut-in ministry at the care homes, we can do different things. There are a lot of things that we can do at Grace, but we need volunteers. We have a database survey that we have, which allows you, okay, what it does is it allows you to fill out, here's things I like to do. I like to do music. I like to do art. I like to paint. I'm willing to do different things. Here's some experience I have. I've done electrical. I've done framing. Those are the type of questions that we ask. What sort of experience do you have? What sort of experience are you willing to bring to this family? It was a question, so we want you to fill one of those out. If you want one, you come and talk to me, and we'll get you one, okay? Next week, I'm going to try to have them up on that slat wall out there where you can grab one of those and just have those available to take with you. I forgot to get them this week, and I apologize for that. But those are important, and we can get those. You just grab one, fill it out, and bring it in, and we can get you plugged right in, okay? So think about that. Shakespeare's Henry V. You guys ever, anybody seen or read the play? Doesn't surprise me, I haven't either, okay? But there's pieces of it that I love. Henry V is getting ready to lead his army into battle on this Crispin's Day. And as he's talking to his men, he talks about the significance of what they're about to do. And as your pastor, I look at us here, and I see the significance of what God's about to do in 2018. And I don't know what the end result's going to be. I don't know how the battle is going to turn out. I don't know what God is going to do. But I'm going to leave you with his words, because these are great words. The story shall the good man teach his son from this day to the ending of the world, but we in it shall be remembered. We few, we happy few, we band of brothers. We as a church are a band of brothers. We are Grace Baptist Church. And God is about to turn us loose. We few, we happy few, we band of brothers. Are you willing to dream? Are you willing to be with us for 2018 and beyond as God takes Grace Baptist and does a wonderful work through us? God, we come to you today, and Father, I praise you for the hailstones you sent from heaven. Lord, you have done a wonderful thing these last 2 years, and God, you are not done yet. And like Joshua, we're looking around thinking, man, if only time would stop. And we look at this, okay, God. My goodness, God, you can do some amazing things. And Lord, we're dreaming for you to do some amazing things. God, help us. Help us. Help this band of brothers, this family, as we unite together. As we unite together for your glory, not for our own. It's not going to be convenient. Battle never is. Battle is hard. Sometimes there are casualties, there are wounds, there are injuries. That happens. But God, I pray for us as we band of brothers, as we unite together, that we would stay united. That we would help heal those who've been hurt, but that we would continually move forward under your banner, God. And we pray this in Jesus' name, amen.